Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bouchard.
Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, Winston, the blue liner on point, coming at you live to tape from beautiful downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. And with me, of course, the one and only Mermaid, live to tape also from Centerville, Virginia.
Hello.
Wonderful thing we call Uber Conference.
Yeah, it's been better. I think I finally figured out when the microphone light is red and solid, it's not being muted. And so I think that was the problem of you and I, like, can you hear me? Hello? Can you? And I'm responding. And so now I think we finally figured out what's going on with on my end with Uber Conference, but it's all good. Another week.
Well, I was going to have you do a quick test by saying hello, but you said a lot more than hello, but that's okay, because around here, we get paid by the word.
We
don't get paid at all.
No, we don't.
So how was your week? Hopefully a lot better than last week, I take it.
You know what it was? The week was good. It was good. I think after the service for David, I was like, ugh. And then, I don't know, for some reason, it just kind of felt like, needed to move forward in a positive, manner and always thinking about him and his family, of course. I think I'll stop by their house this week. So I had a sort of pseudo surprise birthday party for Ian yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah. And he's turning 50 closer to the end of the month. And I was like, I'm all about celebrations. And after this whole tragedy with David, I was very much like, need something good to look forward to. I need something to bring people together. And somehow I managed to pull this off. His brother and family from Cape Cod came down, and his sister and her husband from Syracuse, and then childhood best friends from Massachusetts flew in yesterday, and he had no idea. So me, who I cannot, like, I can keep a secret, but like if there's like a gift, I'm like, hey, I went shopping for your birthday. I know it's not for 2 months, but guess what I got you? I just get like all stupid excited about stuff like that. So I managed to not say anything, and it was really difficult. He was surprised. He was happy. It was like, I was hoping to do kind of like fire pit outside because the weather's been so ridiculously nice and then cold. And of course yesterday it was pretty wickedly cold. I had about 25 people in the house yesterday, and we had tacos, taco bar, and some adult beverages, and some feeling a little sluggish today, like not hungover, just, you're trying to get party together and then everyone comes and you forget to eat and you're like, talking to everybody. And, but I will say the party was at 2:00, a good chunk of people left by 7:30, and I was able to see, woohoo, all good on this end.
Well, I can already hear. So his relatives are from all parts of New England, it sounds like, and I can already hear the influence in your voice. Wickedly cold. a lot of oh yeah, Mariana, sorry, I caught in the wrong place.
They're not Irish, Gil.
Huh?
They're not Irish. Oh, you're making that sounded a little Irish.
Was not Irish.
It's the wickedly thing has been, I just love that word. And when anything is, it's just like, it's just a good word to use. And especially if I can't be like, fucking A, or God damn it. You know, if I'm like with my students, I could be like, hey, you know, guess who is wickedly annoyed? That would be me. And for the adults, it's like, I could use, guess who's fucking annoyed? So it just kind of has this great little, yeah, both like an interchange the words. So, but it was wickedly cold. Ugh. Yesterday it was like, I think we woke up, it was 22. I was pretty sure no one's going to want to do a fire pit. Just me. But yes, they are all from New England, and they're wickedly awesome people. So yeah.
Well,
that's
with,
it.
With me, at least you never have to guess. You're always annoyed. So there is that.
That's true. That's true. Well, it's been a good, like, you know, annoying relationship for what, 2-3 years now. It's good times. Good times.
I'll bet. that's good. Family's good, especially you know, this close to the holidays. So glad to see everybody's getting along. Nobody's getting on each other's nerves too badly. Of course, that's later in the year when we actually get the holidays.
Right.
But not to bring it back around to some downtimes, but it is still Hockey Fight Cancer Month. And I mentioned last week, I was looking for someone to do my I Fight For sticker. And I don't know why this person didn't, you know, pop into my mind before, because we dedicated an episode to her in the past. But, you know, my person that I found to fight for is going to be Heather Bigham. Who, as we know, is recovering from her bout with cancer. She had her last round of chemo last year and is recovering nicely. But, you know, had things had not gone right, had she not gotten the help that she needed, had all the treatment not gone well, then, you know, I shudder at the thought, but we would be talking about her in the past tense, not the present.
Oh, so, I think we have to delete this part.
Well, Gil. I mean,
I know, but don't you think that the family knows that? And so why not just say, hey, listen, Fight for Cancer Month. I'm choosing Heather Bigham because she rocked it during her treatments. And we're so happy she's in her remission, and keep it going. But you took it to a different level.
Well, I mean, I don't see that there's anything wrong with, you know, telling the truth as far as the downside of things, because in some way it can be a great motivator, and in a different way I'll kind of mention that, you know, when you think of the bad times, you know, it kind of motivates you to want to get away from that. And yes, we're all happy, of course, that Heather's doing very well. And I'm happy for her, for whole family, and for Brian, especially.
Absolutely. She's one to be admired. And I'm so glad that you said that. And she would have been top on my list if I, didn't have my own little, you know, tragedy last week with my student. So yeah, so my David is going to be my person of the month. It's not that I'm not thinking of everybody else.
True enough. But yeah, I just want to put that out there because we all should have someone to fight for. And it's a shame we can only dedicate a month to it, but she's my one, and you know, she's a survivor, and that's a good thing. But absolutely, not everybody survives, and in fact too many people are lost, so that's why we have to carry on the fight. But she's my inspiration for the month. I just want to put that out there. I didn't need to, you know, bring everybody down, but there's always that what might have been. So that's okay. All I'm saying.
I gotcha.
All right. So it is also Veterans Day, or the day before, as we're recording this, November the 10th, the evening of. and posted something on my Facebook, on the show's Facebook page earlier. And I just wanted to kind of repeat that because I do think the veterans are something to be celebrated and not to be used as any political platform. I'm not going to say who, but the guy's name rhymes with Gone Harry. But just want to repeat the military shout out that I put in the Facebook page. If my phone will cooperate with me one time, gotta love technology. Okay. So I put a roll call on there of a list of, six of our loyal listeners and their respective branches. One of us, of course, unfortunately is no longer with us, but I'll repeat that list once again. And, so we'll start with Sonia Kendall of the Washington Capitol fan page, who represents the United States Coast Guard. One of our newer listeners, a good friend of a friend I work with, Brian Mosco, who represents the United States Air Force. Chris Levesque, of course, who represents the United States Army. And two guys representing the United States Navy. One I've been proud to know for over 30 years, and it's Ronnie Schrantz. The other being, of course, Tony Ocott, proudly serving aboard two of our finest ships. And lastly, but certainly not least, it was around this time last year that she unfortunately passed away. But of course, Rebecca Thomas, representing the United States Marine Corps. So I just want to give a shout out for to all of those fine people for sacrificing and serving our country. And to any of you listening now who are either not a part of our fan page, or I haven't gotten the pleasure to know, I thank you all also for your service very heartily. And thank you for your sacrifice, because again, it is a sacrifice. Don't let anybody tell you different. It is, you're giving up your youth and energy and time to serve a great cause. And that's the continuance of our way of life. And that's a great thing. That's a noble thing. And always will be. All right. So what do you say we get into the hockey?
Let's do it.
And it was another great week. I don't know. We were talking before. I don't want to approach it with this attitude, but I don't want to be all casual about it, like it's, you know, kind of we're used to it. But I mean, other than maybe a couple, three highlights. Mm-hmm. It was pretty much the same as last week, if you think about it.
Now, well, we're on a good winning streak and a high point winning streak, which has been super impressive. But I feel a hesitation on your end.
Well, and yes, and that's because, look, Chris Levesque posted in the True Caps fans page something that kind of hit home with me, and I'll paraphrase. Basically, he said, look, it's great that we're winning now, but you know, it's not good to brag. It is, because it is early in the year. You don't win the playoffs, you don't win the cup this early in the year. You know, it's nice to bank all these points, don't get me wrong, but this, you know, you don't really win anything. And of course, all those years ago, when we won the President's Trophy, mm-hmm. you know, old grandma's ashtray twice, and right. look where it got them, absolutely nowhere. So, you know, I
don't know. I guess I kind of feel, okay, well, here we go. I don't agree.
Well, my fear is that they're wasting, they're not saving their best for last. That they're, you know, might be wasting their best effort for, you know, not really meaningless games, but games that don't mean as much. I don't know. Maybe I guess I shouldn't be thinking that way. Of course, I'm happy they're playing this way, but I hope they approach it as a collective unit that, all right, we're doing well, but you know what? There's still stuff to be improved upon. And I hear the coaching staff certainly is applying that knowledge or that mentality. So it's good. It's good that Todd Reirden and the staff is at least looking at it like that. You know, knowing that, hey, you know, we're playing well, but we could be playing even better. And you look at give a quick scan of these results. Okay, 4-2 win in, at home against Calgary. 5-4 win in overtime against Florida.
Right.
And then last night against Vegas, a 5-2 win.
Kick ass.
Now the Vegas game is probably their most complete game. So whatever kinks they had, to work out with the long layoff and the rust and whatnot, it looked like they worked out. So that's a good sign. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just want to be sure that this is, I mean, look what happened to Tampa Bay last year. They you know, ran through the whole league in the regular season. And look where it got them. It got them absolutely nowhere in the playoffs. So that's my only concern.
Okay. Well, I don't see, luckily, the players, you know, showboating about this stuff. And I certainly don't think that they're going into every game overly confident, because I mean, obviously they know how long their season is and they know what it's going to take. But I think what we're seeing now is not so much what we saw last year. Was okay, so now we have a different Todd Reirden stepping in. Now we have one who I feel like everyone doubted, and everyone was like, wow, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. You know what? He is doing well. I don't know. I've always liked the guy, but whatever. So I feel like he's kind of coming into his own, and that kind of calms things down with everybody else, with the other coaches and the players, and that's how it should be. But we're finally seeing healthy players, knock on wood. And we're seeing the chemistry of the young players and the vet players, and, you know, finally moving on from the koozie drama, moving on from, you know, is Oshie going to be able to ever bounce back and be healthy like he was before? You know, look at Tom Wilson kicking ass, and then you have all the goalie drama. So there's always somebody out there who wants to have like a negative take on something. At this point right now, I'd rather just ride this wave of they look damn good and I'm impressed. And you know what? If someone gets injured, then we'll deal with it if that happens. Let's hope it doesn't. But I think the way that the goalie situation is playing out is awesome. You know, Sammy's kicking ass and he's being tested, and Holtby's standing, you know, holding his ground. So I think it's a, you know, if it keeps the momentum going, it's so much easier to say, okay, hey, listen, we had six wins. Let's keep it going. But it's not the end of the world if we lose one. But let's just not keep that trend going to where all of a sudden we have like 10 losses in a row. So I don't think that there's anybody on the Capitals team, especially having won the cup and then having, you know, everything that went down last year, is going to look in the situation and say, oh yeah, you know, we can, you know, we're awesome, we're this, we're that. They're like, nope, they know what's coming at them. Like, you know, things are going to get harder. They're going to get tired. They're going to be on the road longer, all that kind of stuff. But I feel like they're just in a place right now where the chemistry is just spot on. And that's going to probably be my word of the season on the podcast. Cause I've used chemistry a lot a couple of years ago. But I think that is so important to have that, you know, coming back.
Agreed. And getting back to something you said about the coaching staff, particularly Todd Reirden, I will have to agree. I'm seeing a lot more from him. I'm seeing him be a lot more animated and vocal and encouraging behind the bench, something that I think was very lacking last year.
I agree. I feel like there were times that we saw Reirden last year where he wanted to challenge or wanted to kind of speak up, and he was like, oh, and then it was like too little too late, you know, the refs are like, hey, moving on. And now I feel like, yeah, now he's got the confidence of, he knows exactly why he is in the position that he's in. So you know what? Do it. You don't need to be a hothead. You don't need to like a Babcock or, you know, like a Torts or whatever, like, you know, feel like your head's going to explode every time something goes wrong. But I feel like if he has a smart approach to things and he is going to come forward and be much more vocal, hell yeah. And I think I agree with you. Like we're seeing it. And I know everybody is like, not everybody, but come on, Cash Friedman. Like we can't, I don't know. I like the guy, but okay, whatever.
Well, look, I still think that the defense has some to be desired, but
honestly, right at this point, not okay. Last year, yes, I could see the frustration, but this year, do you really feel that?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, look, it's not always that the offense is going to bail the team out, and that's probably my one caveat to this team, is that, well, all right, let's look over the whole history. Has this team failed to score more or less than four goals? Well, the one time they did for this last 3 or 4 weeks, they lost. So, okay, you know, that's my one concern. When the defense isn't there and the offense isn't there either, well, I mean, that's true of anything, but I mean, if the defense isn't there and the offense quite doesn't have it gotten together for that game, you know, guess what? The well runs dry and they'll lose. The one time that happened was against, you know, the Colorado game. Now, granted, you know, they've been on a hell of a hot streak since. They've only lost one game since.
Right.
And that was in OT against a very strong, very fast Edmonton team.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you know, I think, look, I don't want to be the typical Caps fan. Oh, no, here we go again. They're on a hot streak, but they're going to have to play, you know, come April and May. You know,
right.
Get to May and then go away. You know, that old adage. No. I don't think that will happen, but at the same time, they're susceptible to that trap. So I just want to make sure they learn from the mistakes of this game. I do think the defense can get tighter. And so if they can kind of learn from that, I love it. Look, I love it that Carlson is running away with as far as being productive on the offensive end for defensemen. I love that. I love it that Kempney's able to keep up with him, means his legs are great. Mm-hmm. But then on the downside, you got Orlov doing his shit again and again and again. Jensen is not having, shall we say, a gangbusters year. Okay, he hasn't impressed me at all this season, in fact. And he also looked like crap, as I mentioned, in training camp. So you got to wonder, you know, and we're stuck with him, as somebody pointed out on Twitter, we're stuck with him for another 3 years. So you got to wonder if that was such a wise investment. Now, that's not to say we can't, you know, we're not going to see them get it together eventually, but mm-hmm. I mean, that's my one, you know, kind of thing that makes me want to throw my foam brick at the TV, you know, whenever, you know, Siegenthaler makes a bad pass or Orlov bobbles the puck like it's, you know, a perverted hot potato or something like that.
But see, I think like Orlov is probably the one I've vocally said on several occasions. He's one that just irritates the fuck out of me as a player. There's something about this guy that I'm like, oh, I really, really, really want to pull for him and be like, hey, this is great. And you know what? Make me eat my words and be like, hey, look at it. He's kicking ass. It's not happening. But I will say, like you mentioned Siegenthaler, I thought he's been having, like he has been impressive the last couple of games. I think everything with him is just kind of, it's settled. And by this time, it should be settled. And do I agree that Jensen should be stepping up? Yeah, he's going to become one of those names that I'm going to be like, I'm sorry, who? He's one of my threes, but I'm like, sorry, who are you again? So not totally impressed, not saying that I won't be. We have for another 3 years. So it'll be something in there. He's got to redeem himself at some point. But I think Siegs has done well and Orloff is blah.
Yeah, well, right. So there's a reason why we've all named him Damn It Orlov. Not Dmitri, right. But Damn It Orlov, because there's not a game that doesn't go by where he does something that makes all go, Damn It Orlov, why did you do that? His name.
Yes, yeah, so you say Damn It, and I think I have other words to it.
Well,
but yes, I know, quite often.
I'm very, very familiar with those other words.
Yes, they sometimes pop up on social media. I was like, "What?"
And so are all of our regular listeners. You out there on the other side of the earbuds, speakers, what have you?
Love it.
But let's kind of go through the games here. So there was the one at home. At Cap 1 against Calgary, 4-2 win. And, of course, as we know, that was the Jacob Vrana show. And he got the, I think somebody called it a natural hat trick. Wasn't a natural hat trick. Natural hat trick is when you score three in a row or three in the same period, neither of which happened. But what he did score was the first goal for the Caps, the second goal for the Caps, and the third goal for the Caps. The last of which, of course, ended up being the game winner. And then Lars Eller put it away with a power play goal early in the third for the fourth goal. And, pretty good, pretty solid game. Caps finally outshot an opponent 32-27. Probably the most important stat other than the hits, 29-18 in favor of the good guys there. Liked all the up-tempo game, liked the fact that they kept it going through all three periods. Got a little chippy at times, but of course, Caps aren't afraid of that. That's in fact the hallmark of their game. So pretty good game for them, I thought. And then you had the next game. They had a long layoff, 3 days completely off. Then they traveled. To Miami. Welcome to Miami. And that was against Florida, of course. And they looked kind of sloppy this game, like they weren't ready for the road trip and the long layoff. Review of the scoring. John Carlson, of course, his eighth, 25 seconds in. This would be a trend. Quick goals to start periods. His eighth, as I said. Florida tied like a minute and a half later, though. And then an old friend came to call, put the Panthers up 2-1. And, of course, Brett Connolly with his sixth. He seems to be fitting there quite nicely in Coach Q's down there. So good luck to him, of course, but not at our expense. Thank you very much. Barkov, with his third of the year, puts them up 3-1, 27 seconds in. Like, what's with the quick goals at the start of the periods all of a sudden? But then it became the Alex Ovechkin show. The Alex and Tuck show. Two straight back-to-back, 6 minutes apart, 12 and 13th. Power play goal and tip-in. Stop me if you've heard that before, scoring two different ways to tie the game. And then Dadonov from Florida puts them up 4-3 again. And then Mr. Wilson says, all right, hold my beer. I'm taking over. Ties the game 44 seconds into the third. Okay, so the opposite periods were catching the team asleep. So he ties it, and then it's a battle for the rest of the game. And then Craig Laughlin looks into his crystal ball and says, well, you know, going to come down to a big save at one end and then a goal at the other or something like that. Anna, did I lose you?
I'm sorry. Was I on mute?
I don't know if you were on mute or not, but I figured I figured you'd stop me when I started talking about Tommy and I didn't hear anything.
I know. I was reminiscing, like, those were all these fantastic games and yay, Tommy. And I just kind of got lost in the moment of that third period and 44 seconds in. And then let's just go ahead and talk about overtime.
Okay. Yeah. And there's nobody better I'm not surprised. I'm happy as hell to say this. There's been nobody better when the game is on the line than Tom Wilson.
Let's say that again.
There's been nobody better when the game is on the line than Tom Wilson.
Okay.
I'm not kissing up to my co-host when I say that. I say that because I can back it up. I looked at the Caps individual stats. Guess who leads the team in game-winning goals?
Right.
Tom. With three.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He has been impressive. I'm just loving where his attitude is this year and his skill level and whatever it took, like all the immaturity, and we've talked about this over and over again, but this is the Tom Wilson that we signed the big contract with. And this is the one that, you know, I knew was going to come out at some point and say, okay, enough of this, you know, the bullshit aside, the fighting aside, the hothead, you know, moments aside, I'm out here to play hockey and I have damn good skills and look at me go. And he has been nothing but impressive.
Nothing but, and he's got, look, this may be sounded like hyperbole to some of you, but he probably has the best wrist shot in the league. Mm. I've never seen the puck fly off anyone else's stick the way he does, with at least as far as wristers go. And he showed it. He showed it.
Yeah.
And of course, his seventh of the year was the game winner, 17 seconds. As Craig Loughlin. Locker prophesized, it was, lest we forget, it was off a big, huge save made by Braden Holtby.
That was incredible.
That was incredible off the Ekblad point blank chance.
Yeah.
The man had him dead to rights. Okay. That was, wow. I think everybody's heart stopped when he was all alone with the puck, but you know, thankfully Holtby was there with the pad. No big deal. I got this. Stuck it out.
Yep.
And then the Caps recovered. I don't know. I'm still stunned talking about it because that's just something. You know, look, you people that. You people, hoo boy. You within the Caps fans that doubted one Braden Holtby. Okay, I hope you're not doubting him now.
Right.
Because he's proving more and more to be, and I'm sorry if some of you out there think this is an outdated term, but he's a money goalie. All right. So he makes the save, and then they dig it out of the corner. John Carlson takes it up the wing. Finds a streaking Wilson who wrists it past the all-world goalie, Bobrovsky. Game over, 17 seconds. So Cousy digs it out of the corner now that I'm rechecking the replay to Carlson. Wrister from Wilson over the pad of Bobrovsky. Game over. I kind of wish we had Mike Green, and we used to call him Game Over Green. maybe we can call him Winning Wilson or something like that. Game Winner Wilson. I don't
something.
Know. Gonna have to come up with a name for that because he's money as well. That's how that one ended. Now skipping over to what was probably their most complete game, and that was against Vegas last night. Quick run of the stats. Let's see. Okay, so Kuznetsov open scoring 58 seconds into the first. With the bird wrister. Some guy named Tom Wilson with his eighth makes it 2-0 five minutes later. Max Pacioretty gets one for the Knights. And then Siegenthaler, Jonas Siegenthaler with his first.
He had a great game.
He had a very good game. And it was great to see him improve because he wasn't, you know, there were some games he was in that, yeah, he just wasn't looking so good. And I think maybe he's now finally turning that corner. And true. And this is why they had to send down Christian Juice. Because as far as development, Siegenthaler outpaced him, outclassed him. So this is why they are where they are right now, each of them. And it's starting to show. And I really hope this is just a preview of things to come for Jonas, because I love that he's rounding into form. I think both ends of his game are really coming around. So I think this is just the beginning, or at least I hope it is for him. But yeah, great to see him get his first. Travis Boyd on the assist for that one. Vegas came within one, but then Nick Backstrom took over in the third. Power play and an empty netter, making it 5-2. Caps run away with it. Again, kind of like the Calgary game, only a little more intense. I don't know. Vegas seems to be one of those teams that you wouldn't believe it, but they seem to get up for them. Now, kind of like a Western version of the Penguins, even though you didn't see the old rivalry between Ryan Reeves and Wilson prop up any time.
No, but they did exchange some words, which I am dying to know. I wish they were mic'd up, because Reeves comes over, is just talking a ton. There's, you know, maybe 10-15 second conversation, and you know Reeves skates off, and that was it. This was just during warmups. So I'm like, man, I would love to know what was going down in that conversation, because, you know, Reeves could, who knows what, but you know what? Nothing came out of it. Ryan Reeves is a douche still. And there was no fights. I was kind of thinking, you know, he was just going to be a complete ass and, you know, go for Oshie or go for, you know, do something. And we would have probably then seen Tommy and Gudish just wail on him, I would hope, but I don't know, right? He just needs to shut up.
Well, there was a nice scrum towards the end involving TJ Oshie, but yeah, Ryan Reeves was nowhere to be found because, well,
he was on the bench.
he was on the bench, which he usually is 50 plus minutes of most games.
Right.
So he is where he is, and Tom Wilson is where he is, and there's a reason for that, and I'll leave it at that.
I get it.
No need to make any more of that. I mean, out of the words of Mr. Wilson himself, he said, "Well, it's one of those things where, you know, he's a tough guy. I'm a tough guy, and it wasn't that bad of a hit, and you know, he was just right place, wrong time. But we're past it, and we've moved on. So let us move on." There you have it. Three games, three wins, all in regulation, and you got to win it in 60. You bank the most points, and you're good. So going into next week, let's preview that real quick. Busy week, as we hinted last week. Four games, two on the road, two at home, and they flip-flop. I don't know. I'm beginning to think the guy who makes the schedules for the NHL is on some sort of medication that's
it is ridiculous.
Agreeing with him? Maybe. I don't know. So tomorrow night, Veterans Day, 7 o'clock puck drop at Cap 1 against the Coyotes. Then it's on to Philly on Wednesday, 7:30 puck drop in Philly against the Flyers. And then Friday night, back home at Cap 1, 7 o'clock puck drop against the Montreal Canadiens, first against them this season. Mm-hmm. And then back up north, maybe your relatives might have some enjoyment out of this, against the Bruins.
The wickedly smart Bruins. Yes.
You can do the Boston accent, but I'm not allowed to.
You sounded Irish. So,
I'll give you some Irish.
I'm sure you will. But yes. So it's going to be a busy week, and I have a busy school week coming up. So I need to rally.
Yeah, very busy. So we'll probably breeze through the recaps next week even more than we did this week. But I'll try and pick out some highlights. I'm sure there will be. All four teams, though, no real slouches there. So as I like to say, good tests, all of them. Especially that Arizona team. They're deceptive. They're very deceptive.
I think it's going to be a great game tomorrow night.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to be an easy 2 points. I think they've got their defensive system figured out, so it's not going to be run and gun like it usually is. So that's going to be very interesting to watch, at the very least. So if you don't catch any other games, I'd say make sure you catch that one.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay, we're not going to get into next week. That's just too far off, and it's too spread out anyway. So, getting back to the topic of Veterans Day real quick, I mentioned earlier a certain someone from a certain hockey show across a certain border said a certain something that set a lot of people off, including yours truly. Well, I'm not going to dignify that. Instead, I will do what I always do, which is try to turn a bad into a good. And that's what this person meant to do was to honor the military, because it's Remembrance Day up there and it's Veterans Day down here. So I like to tell you a little story, a very true story about how the military and professional hockey actually mixed a long, long time ago, over 100 years ago, in fact. Before there was the NHL, there was the National Hockey Association, which the National Hockey League was born out of. And in that league, 1 year, due to certain business circumstances, there was actually a team represented by a whole Army battalion, a Canadian Army battalion, the Toronto 228th. It was stationed in Thunder Bay, I believe, Thunder Bay, Ontario. So they took one of the open franchise slots and actually played half a season. But then, of course, it was 1916-17 that year. And, of course, we're in the middle of World War I. So they were called up, played 10 games, won 6, lost 4. But stop me if you've heard this before. They were one of the most exciting teams and respected for their offensive prowess. Their leading scorer was a defenseman who scored 17 goals in those 10 games. Again, stop me if you've heard something like that before. So I thought I'd throw that out there. I thought someone like a listener like Diane Doyle would like a little historical tidbit like that, throw her a little bone. But yeah, there, once upon a time, yes, there was an actual military unit that made up a team in a professional hockey league and did pretty good until they got called up into the war. So a little abbreviated version of a story I told before, but just wanted to throw that out there to further honor military this on the eve of Veterans Day. Okay, so that's it on my end. So what you got going on for Sports on the Hill? Can you give us a little preview of that, Anna?
I can. And thank you for that story. Sports on the Hill, tomorrow night, 7. So it will be during that Coyotes game. They do Facebook Live. Carol Porter III, Robbie Gross, great guys. You know, we're just DC sports fans, but I'm just there to talk about the hockey. 7 o'clock tomorrow. So we will be talking about the same wrap up that we did here, and then also if there's some sort of excitement going on during the Coyotes game, Carol usually is very quick to interject and be like, oh, this is what happened. So it's very fun. And yeah, so they're on True Radio Network and every Monday.
Always fun to hear them talk about Caps hockey and all things DC sports, actually.
Yeah.
Wizards are in full swing this season. And of course, certain other sports teams as well, who we will not mention. Not so much. But yeah, again, like Anna said, catch that on Facebook Live and over the True Radio Network, 7 o'clock every Monday. And our own mermaid, Anna Knox, will be there talking Caps hockey with them. So hopefully you catch that. So I think this is a good place to wrap it up. So I want to thank you again, you out there in the DMV, that's the state of Maryland, the Commonwealth of Virginia, and the District of Columbia, and of all points around the globe. Thank you all once again for tuning in to this Caps Fans podcast. So for the mermaid, Anna Knox.
Yes.
This is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that there's something that is 4 inches long and 2 inches wide that's guaranteed to drive women crazy. an empty toilet roll.
Oh. It's not what I was thinking of, but okay.
Oh, that was the idea.
Right. Oh, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was.
How's that for not ending the show on a down note?
Well, we'll just gonna always leave it up to you, Gil, to end it on a funny note. Ha ha ha.
Your confidence in me is overwhelming.
I know. I will say there was one episode last year that I think that you did make a joke and I did laugh really hard. And you even said that you're going to laugh at, but not such and such. So we'll get back to one of those situations again. I don't even remember what was said, but you have one laughing moment with me, but these little things at the end, I can't.
Okay. Well, somewhere in the DMV, Lisa Desabre is groaning very, very loudly.
Most likely.
Yeah.
Most likely.
So, all right. Hallelujah. And let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.